Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then that in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, of fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty grounds where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, "My power and might of my hand has gotten me this wealth." You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word.
Boys and girls, you can grab your folders with the sermon worksheets. And please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, 19 to 34. It's a passage we're familiar with, but one of those ones we just need to hear again and again. Matthew 6, 19 to 34. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, oh, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. To give you an idea of where we're going this afternoon, on screen we're going to look at just in terms of relating the first three requests of the Lord's Prayer to the fourth. There's a few things we can learn there. God's glory is paramount. God cares for our body. And then we're going to look at the more general theme, the main point, if you like, that we are dependent on God for everything. We'll also see it's about our needs, not our greeds, and that we are dependent daily. Well, brothers and sisters, maybe you've heard of these titles. Unbroken, 1917, Rocky, Forrest Gump, Braveheart, Rudy, Martian, and the list goes on. What do all these movies have in common? Well, they all showcase human determination, grit, creativity, and courage. I've watched a few of them, found them inspiring. However, there's a problem with movies such as these. The problem is not the determination, that's a good thing. The problem is not the courage. I mean, we could do with more courage in our present day, couldn't we? Do you know what the problem is? You ever noticed? They sort of cultivate this picture of the ultimate, self-made, self-reliant, independent man or woman. You don't generally see them bowing in prayer. As one writer puts it, how very tempted we are to think that we're in control, that we are gifted enough, hard-working enough, and rich enough to tackle any problem. Indeed, how very tempted we are. But what's the reality? The reality is there is not a single moment in our life whereby we are not reliant on our God. You know, some very determined and very courageous soldiers do not come home. Many who are very determined to play for the Aussie cricket team do not make the 11. Some determined missionaries are not granted success. The point is, we are not independent, are we? We are not in control. We are not self-made. We are not self-reliant. Self-reliance is an evil deception. We are completely dependent on God. And in fact, we are so dependent on God, every day we've got to start all over again and come back to God and say to God, Give us this day our daily bread. We might think, oh, we every day we pray to God for some of the, we pray if maybe for something big, or oh, something's gone wrong today, I better pray. But no, we've got to start every day right from square one, ground zero. Give us this day our daily bread and every single thing else. So what we're going to see this afternoon is that since God provides all, we need to daily depend on Him. Now, before we look at the heart of this request, there were those two things just to highlight, because we can look at the first three requests and relate them to the fourth request. There's a few things to notice from that relationship. As we've seen in those first three requests, haven't we, boys and girls? Those first three are all about God's glory. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. They're all nuances of the same core truth. All glory belongs to God. This provides a very important context for the fourth request, because the fourth request has to do with our needs. To put it differently, the first it's the you requests, and then comes the we requests. First it's about God, then us. The two very important truths are this. One is that God's glory is paramount. Well, of course, we've seen that. God's glory is paramount. Our needs are secondary. That's not rocket science. We understand the relationship. We've seen that. But just flesh it out. Understand what this really means. Let me put it differently. God must always be honored, even at the expense of our life, our earnings, our health, our house, our safety, and any of our comforts and conveniences. So easy, isn't it, to get all the rest up the top and then to sacrifice God's glory. But no, the prayer says God first. And that's really, really difficult when we're under pressure in different areas of life, or when we're put in different situations of life. So, just to flesh it out, it's not right for someone to steal if they're hungry. It's not right for someone to sell their bodies to pay the bills. God's glory is paramount. God's requests come before ours. Another important truth to note is God also cares for our physical well-being. His glory is not usually at the expense of our physical well-being. He graciously cares for our daily necessities. In Mark 5, Jairus' daughter is dead. By the time Jesus arrives, the mourners are wailing and there's a huge commotion. But Jesus says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the girl got up and began walking, and she's healed. But there's something else Jesus says. Do you remember? He says, "Give her something to eat." See, God cares for us both body and soul. Some religions, like the Eastern religions, care more or only about the soul, and they're generally pleased to be free from the body and let's achieve nirvana and escape suffering. Sometimes Christianity has fallen into this trap. Bernard of Clairvaux in 1090 to 1153, he's one of the most famous monks of the Middle Ages, and he advised those entering into his monastery, he said to them, "Leave your body at the door." And what he meant by that is they should give up the desires of the body. But God's not against desire. God is against sinful desire. So he was not right, and sometimes Christians have fallen into this trap. But you see, biblical Christianity is concerned for people both body and soul. Jesus fed the people, and then he went on to feed their soul. One day we will be resurrected, both body and soul. Give us this day our daily bread shows that God cares for the body. And we'll see that a little bit in a moment, but what a beautiful truth. Because God not only cares about your spiritual well-being, he cares about the physical struggles you go through as well. And that's why we can pray for so-and-so sore toe. Because God cares for the body. He cares for the mental struggles, the emotional struggles, the physical struggles, the depression, you name it. The whole box and dice that affects us in our more physical being. God cares for our bodies. So it makes sense because we need our bodies to perform our kingdom tasks. In Genesis 1, God calls mankind to have dominion. Interestingly, in the next verse, God promises food through fruit trees and plants. And so God gives them a calling and then makes sure they're equipped or fed. We have a kingdom calling. We're taught to pray for the necessities to be able to fulfill our calling. We eat so that we can worship. Now that's also, there's another little application here. There's a little handbrake here then. A little handbrake on some of the physical things we might pray for. Because boys and girls, you might have thought, oh yes, now we're talking about physical things. Now I can pray for some more Lego. Finally, I can get that prayer request in. Or now I can pray for some more money. Not so fast. Sorry to disappoint you. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And in that context, sinful passions. So yes, we pray for physical things like health, but still for that greater purpose of giving glory to God. So there's two truths, two or even three truths there that are just important to note just in the relationship between the first three and number four. But now let's come to the central issue in this request. What's the heart of the matter? Well, since God provides everything, we are to daily depend on him. In a word, this request is all about dependence. In a word, it's just about dependence. And the first thing we see is we are dependent on God for everything. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the word give. It reminds us from the outset the source of provision. The source of provision is not ourselves, but it comes from God. God is our provider. We know that. Psalm 145, the eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. God reveals his goodness in his provision. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Oh, there are many other verses too that we could go through. You know many of them. Whether it's rain or health or income, returns on investments, food, you name it, it all comes from this good God. He is the sustainer and of all things. He is the governor of the universe. He not only creates the universe, but he also sustains it. And Acts 17:28 says, for in you we live and move and have our being. I think we understand that. Well, let's understand it then. On the flip side, what happens then if God withholds his hand? Well, everything will come crashing down. That's what David found out. One moment he was the self-made man. Psalm 30, He said this, "As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved." Ever felt like that? Life's going well. Well, I've made some good decisions, actually. Not doing too badly, thanks very much. But notice what happens next in Psalm 30. "You hid your face. I was dismayed." The next moment it all came crashing down because God simply hid his face. God can let go for a moment and it can all come crashing down. And so we're taught in this request to rely totally on God. "Give us this day our daily bread." Just as a baby bird holds its beak open to its mother to receive its food, so we open our beaks in prayer to God. "Give us." And so beware. Beware of self-sufficiency. Beware of self-sufficiency, for example. Beware of feeling secure because of your work ethic, bank account, gifts, abilities, or whatever. As God said to his people before entering the promised land, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gave you the power to get wealth." As pastor and writer Kevin DeYoung says, could it be that some of our prayerlessness is due to an attitude of self-sufficiency? Could it also be that some of our worry is due to an attitude of self-sufficiency? Could it be that some of our overwork, such as on Sundays if we're not a shift worker, is due to our self-sufficiency? Beware. Repent. If you need to, look to God who gives us our daily bread. And beware of ingratitude. There's another beware that flows out of this. Beware of ingratitude. It's so easy to be ungrateful. I'm not entitled to my oxygen so far today, or food, or to be able to drive to church, or to have a wife or children. I'm not entitled to an 8-hour day or a bed to sleep in at night. What did Job say? "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Next time you get out of the shower and you go to reach for your towel, just remember in that moment, before you get that towel, "Naked, that's all I got. That's all I own in this world." What is that? Nothing. Nothing. Everything you touch, beginning with the towel, has been gifted to you. Repent of any ingratitude. By grace, let us be thankful, for God gives us everything. And notice what we're asking God to give. Secondly, we are dependent on God for our needs, not our greeds. "Give us this day our daily bread." What exactly is considered bread? Well, sometimes the Bible uses a synecdoche. A synecdoche. In English, sometimes a word is used to represent the whole. So a young person might say, "Well, I'm going to get me a set of wheels." Now, you're not going to come back with four tires, are you? A set of wheels. You just want a set of wheels. No, you mean that by the set of wheels, you mean the car. A synecdoche. The Bible often uses these synecdoches, and here bread represents the bigger category of necessities. The Bible does this on several occasions. Several times the Bible uses bread to refer to food more generally. James 2:15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food. In 1 Timothy 6, bread is used in conjunction with clothing to talk about our necessities. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. So bread, as the stuff of life in those days, seems to point to necessities. So what sort of necessities can you and I pray for? Here's a list that Martin Luther came up with, and I'll just read that to you. All that pertains to nourishment and needs of the body, as drink, food, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, cattle, money, property, godly husband or wife, godly children, godly servants, godly and faithful rulers, good government, good seasons, peace, health, education, honor, good friend, trusty neighbors, and the like, end quote. So how's your prayer list going? There's plenty more to put on there now. So, necessities. And what is clear, then, is that this prayer is about needs, not greeds. It's clearly about necessities. This is something easily forgotten in our affluent little bubble. The prayer is not, give us this day our daily cappuccino, or give us this day another power tool for the shed. No, it's about needs, necessities. And we are in a bubble. We are in a bubble, and we do well to realize that. Our social media accounts will not always remind us of that. But we should remember we're in a bubble, a very affluent bubble. When I visited PNG many years ago, I was invited to stay at a Christian family's place for dinner, for the night. And I had dinner with them. And they were a very poor family. They lived in one of those tin shacks over the water. So you could go in their house, in the room I stayed in, you could see through the cracks in the floor to the water below. And they invited me for dinner. We had dinner. Dinner was rice and some meat from a can. But I was highly embarrassed because I found out via that they did not normally eat meat. They could not normally afford meat. And they brought it out because they had a guest. We're in a bubble. It's just the way it is. We are so blessed and we can give thanks for all the good gifts God gives to us. But we should not lose perspective that we are so rich. This bubble gets reinforced, of course, by the culture around us. We've got to have this or that. We need a better model. Food prices are too high. Yeah, food prices are too high, but only because we consume so much of it. I checked rice the other day. It's only $2 for a kilo. So this prayer does remind us to beware of covetousness. It'll look different for each one. And we don't want to create a new legalism by which each person has to live like this or live like me. Sometimes some of us will end up with more and some less, and that's how God distributes his gifts. But let's, by the grace of God, cultivate contentment. And Proverbs 30 puts it this way, give poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Can you pray that prayer? Give me neither poverty nor riches, contentment. Positively, this prayer reminds us to be generous because it says, give us. It has us, not give me, interesting. Us. The concerns of the prayer are beyond just me, myself, and I. Provide for us. This doesn't mean we have to go on a guilt trip every time we buy something. However, it does mean we should take a broader view with our spending. Because our money is not actually for self-indulgence. If we moderate our lifestyles, we have more money to buy lentils, split peas, there's another type of peas, and there's, what's the number four? Rice. What was that other peas? Chickpeas. There we go. We nearly got it. If we moderate our lifestyles, we have more to give. Now, this doesn't mean Christians are not allowed to be rich. Have a look at the meditation in the newsletter. It's what we do with it. John Wesley, I think he sums it up so well. Earn as much as you can. That's hard work. Save as much as you can. There's good stewardship. Give as much as you can. That's generosity. 1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Then they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And in the context of different civilizations, in the context of the people living in the first century, we're all rich. Finally, notice we are to depend on God daily. We're to depend on God daily. In Acts 3, Peter and John healed that crippled man. You might remember that. And the people were looking to Peter and John. But Peter and John rightly deflected all the attention away. It wasn't us. It was God. It was the power of Christ. Is there anything in our life by which we are... is there anything that we can direct some attention to ourselves? Or does it all get directed away? Sometimes Christians say, I've worked hard and never been on Centrelink. But who caused us to be born in that particular country with that welfare system? Who gave us our job? Who upheld that company? Who gave our gifts? And who provided our work ethic? Sure, work hard, but thanks be to God for the blessing of not being on Struggle Street. Sometimes Christians say, I've never been sick because I've eaten healthy. Well, you get that impression at least. But who caused us to be born in a country with a low infant mortality rate and a low disease rate? Who gave us healthy genes? Who provided the means to buy good food? Definitely eat healthy, but thanks be to God that you and I have the age spans we do in this country. Or don't get as sick as often as we do. Sometimes Christians are proud of achievement, a promotion at work, or a good report card, boys and girls. A's and B's maybe this year. But who provided the educational resources and the books? Who provided the school or the parents to educate? Who provided the intellect to learn? Who provided the opportunity to achieve? Oh, we can give thanks for when things go well. And boys and girls, good on you if you've worked hard and done well. But all praise and all glory to the God we depend on. Is there anything we can take credit for? Can you think of anything? The answer is no. So we look to God. And we look to God every single day. This has got to be so humbling, really. I wonder what unbelievers think of this. Every day, we've got to start again. Notice that important word, daily. Daily. Every day we need God's blessing. Every day we need God to provide health, abilities, food, and success. Every day we need the oxygen. Every day, this, that, and the other thing. That's what the God's people in the Old Testament learnt in their desert wanderings, wasn't it? With the manna, that's what God was actually teaching them. Boys and girls, you remember the manna? How often did they collect it? One big bunch for a whole month? No, every day, apart from the Sabbath. To teach, why did God do that? To teach his people to rely on him every single day. Maybe God needs to bring back manna just for a week or two, just to get us in the right routine again of dependence on God every single day. It's very challenging. As I think about this, I think, wow, this is very challenging because, I mean, we've got fridges and freezers at home, so it's got all this stuff in there, so, you know, if the shops were to close, we could live for a week or two. Some of us might be blessed with great wealth, so we never have to think about anything. And again, it's not wrong to have these things. Some of us might have big super accounts, so it's all sorted to you know, even if we were to live to 110, it's all sorted. So how can we go about this daily dependence and daily trust? Well, we still can. Amongst all the blessings, we can still express daily dependence as we seek God's blessing for everything we have. Psalm 132:15, I will abundantly bless her provisions. I'll satisfy her poor with bread. I can't remember the last time I asked God's blessing on the car to start or to get me to my destination. Can you? You know, our car works fine. Never think about that anymore. I used to have an old dunger that, you know, you'd wonder if it's going to get you from A to B. I don't think about that anymore, but shouldn't we think about that? Because amongst all the things we have, we still need God's blessing. The food you and I have in abundance could poison us, food poisoning. The house we have could have some freak accident. The blood that flows so freely through our veins could clot. The work you do could be futile. Let's not kid ourselves that our health and affluence will see us through the day. Only God's blessing will suffice. So here's how we can express our dependence every day is seeking God to bless what we have and what we do. Oh, I was at someone's place from our congregation. It's the first time ever in my ministry that someone, when I visited them, has prayed for afternoon tea. It was very new to me. I thought, oh, okay, well, yeah, of course. Why shouldn't we pray for afternoon tea? What a provision. Half the Christians around the world, half the world, in fact, doesn't have afternoon tea. And here we get to sit in our freedoms and have afternoon tea. Yeah, why not pray? Why not? Oh, we're in the routine, of course, of praying before meals or after meals or what have you, but it doesn't have to be just slotted in at certain times of the day. We're talking about daily dependence for everything and thanking the Lord for all the blessings that come our way through the day. And we can pray for whatever. We can thank the Lord that we've got through another day of schooling. You name it. So in conclusion, give us this day our daily bread. Stark reminder to pray. Stark reminder to pray. To pray far more than we do. God is the ultimate provider and of everything, and we rely on his provision every moment. The simple act of prayer, 5 minutes or 50 minutes every day, is the surest sign of humility and dependence on God. Independency is a delusion. Sometimes an unbeliever will say to you or to me, I don't need God. Glad you're happy. Glad you can be here doing the warm fuzzies today. But I can do it myself. I don't need a crutch. What a foolish thing to say when your next breath comes from the Almighty God. We can achieve nothing without God's kindness to us every moment. So what does this prayer request look like in practice? The first prayer requests all to revolve around this glory, and these prayers fit into that too and within that context. But we can add to our prayer lists all sorts of things. For more structured prayer times, for just informal prayer times. See, we don't always have to just sit down and formally pray. We can do like Nehemiah and just send off prayers during our day. Arrow prayers, people call them sometimes. But however we're praying, we can pray for another meal. We can pray for health, another day of health. We can pray for the healing of someone's sore toe. We can pray for a good day of schooling. We can bring the mundane to God. Yeah, we get the picture. Because whatever we bring to God, we're recognizing again, He is the provider. The God who says, give her something to eat, is the same God who cares for you and for me. Trust Him. And let's live in daily dependence upon Him. Amen.